But we are going to have our first scripture reading, which is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 16. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, just the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, if you would please take out with me your outlines right there in your bulletin and everything for today's message as we continue on with what's our focus on for this year? Okay, well, I believe we're looking at the doctrines of the Bible, Christian doctrines, and today we're continuing on with the truth and nothing but the truth, and this is part two. Some scripture reading we already did, we'll do some more here in a minute, but this past week, to say the least, has been an interesting week as far as world events. I mean, the situation in Iran right now, we can look at that and we can get fearful. We can say, okay, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen here, Venezuela, and all that stuff and everything going on? But we have to remember Christ, God, is still in control. All right? It's also been an interesting week in the United States. Anybody know who Scott Adams is or was? Scott Adams is the author of the comic strip, okay? And he passed away this past Tuesday. And the news went out that in the last days of his life, that he had confessed Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. And so many people were quick to share, especially that headline on Facebook and other social media outlets. However, very few, including myself, actually at first read the statement that was put out and the words that he actually said. We just kind of looked at the headlines and said, "Ooh, Scott Adams, the guy who professed to be an atheist, accepted Christ." Lori and I were talking about it, and so she went and actually read the statement that he gave. And these are the words that Mr. Adams said in his letter as he was facing death and trying to reassure everybody that he was of sound mind, so he knew what he was saying, he understood what he was about to say, and so all that. So it wasn't that he had lost his mind or anything. He wanted everybody to understand, hey, I am of sound mind for what I'm about to say. This is what I believe. And these are his words. Many of my Christian friends have asked me to find Jesus before I go. I am not a believer. But I have to admit, the risk-reward calculation for doing so looks attractive. So here I go. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I look forward to spending an eternity with Him. The part about me not being a believer should be quickly resolved if I wake up in heaven. I won't need any more convincing than that. And I hope I'm still qualified for entry. Now, we are not called to judge a person's heart, but we are called to examine / judge actions and claims people make. In this letter, Mr. Adam himself claims twice not to be a believer. He claims he is not a believer. He comes right out and says it. I am not a believer. Then later he says that the part about me not being a believer should be resolved if I wake up in heaven. Going by those words, I could not say that he was actually truly saved. Now, I can't judge a person's heart. I get that. But judging by what he says, when he says, I am not a believer, basically he's saying, I'm trying to get to heaven, so I'll do this in case, but he doesn't really truly believe in what Christ and who Christ is and what Christ has done. His own words. I don't know who his friends are or were that were trying to get him to come to Christ, or exactly the words that they told him in trying to win him to Christ. But it does seem to focus, or that their focus was simply to get him to claim some type of salvation through Christ in hopes that maybe he would get there. So I don't know what their exact words were to him. It seems that there was a lack of focusing on what the Bible truly says about faith in Christ and salvation. It seems like they said, well, as long as you say this, you're going to get there. There's a lack of focus on what belief in Christ truly means. Belief in what Christ has done for us on the cross. Belief in who Christ is. Not just the Son of God. He is the Son of God, but also being God himself incarnate. Belief in what he has done for us and in just his love for us. Belief in the repentance of sin. I see nothing in his statement that says anything about seeking forgiveness. Just simply wanting to get to heaven. I see nothing there, as I said, asking for forgiveness, and nothing there about receiving God's grace. And it seems to me that maybe, and I don't know for sure, so I'm guessing here, but it seems like the focus on who Christ is truly to him was not made. Or maybe he just ignored it, what they were trying to say, but it seems like to me, and when you look at his words, that he simply wanted, well, just in case I got to do this, I just want to make sure I try to get to what my belief in heaven is. And so I'll just make this confession. And if that's what I got to do, then, okay, that's just what I do. This is just an example of what is taking place in the lives of so many people who claim to have come to Christ and yet have no foundation on what they believe or the reason for what they believe in. This is why in so many cases this is happening today in our churches, especially right here in our own nation. No foundation or understanding of biblical doctrine. No understanding who Christ truly is. No understanding of what salvation truly means. No understanding of what claiming Christ to be as your Savior and making Him Lord and the difference between the two. Many know the stories inside and out. Have gone to church since they were babies. And yet are walking in blindness. much like those religious leaders in Jesus' day, who thought that they were doing God's will, who thought they were obeying him. Like Saul or Paul, whatever name you want to call him, the one in the New Testament, who was one of the Pharisees, one of the highest Pharisees, who knew the law inside and out, but still didn't know God. And there's so many people in our churches who know the Bible stories in and out, but yet they still don't truly know Christ within them. We hear more sermons that are more about self-help, enjoying life, than about the sinfulness in our lives. When people who claim to be followers of Christ and yet live in sin, whether it be living with each other outside of marriage in sin, living in sexual sin, living in hatred or selfishness, it is clear that there's a lack of true understanding or the willingness to truly follow Christ. Joel Osteen closes his worship service, at least used to, I don't watch him, with what is often called, what we labeled as the sinner's prayer. And then tells people that if they prayed that prayer, that they're saved. And yet his message had nothing to do about salvation. It was all about how to build yourself up in life. So it's no wonder that so many people are walking around with a blind attitude, like Mr. Adams. I accept Jesus, as you mentioned today, I accept Jesus just so much, just so maybe I can slip in to heaven. I just don't believe in everything the Bible says about him. And that's why so many people are blind and walking straight into hell. That may sound harsh, but oftentimes the truth is harsh. Last week we began our focus of the year of looking at the doctrines within Scripture. We began by looking last week into divine revelation. And we stressed about how all Scripture is truth and is given or revealed by God, and the importance of not just understanding Scripture, but truly believing in it. And there is a difference. There's a lot of people who understand Scripture, who know it, but haven't put their faith in it. We looked at the unity of Scripture, how all the books of the Bible are somehow connected and point towards Christ truly being the Messiah, the Savior, and the fulfillment of God's plan for human redemption, and how one day he will totally defeat Satan, not just spiritually by the cross, but totally defeat Satan. And how the unity of Scripture is proof of divine inspiration. In looking at specific revelation, we saw that revelation, we looked at two words last week, and we're going to continue on with another one today. We looked at how revelation is God revealing something to us. It is the subject matter of the message. And we looked at inspiration is the power or method by which the message of God has been given by his messenger in communicating that message. So today, as we continue looking at specific revelation, we're looking at the illumination of revelation. That part of revelation where it illumines us. So specific revelation, and the word that we're centering on today, or starting to, is illumination. If you would, please stand with me. I'm going to read from John 16, verses 12 through 15. You don't have to turn it up, but if you'd like to, you're more than welcome to. I'll let you always open up your Bibles whenever you want to. John 16, verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. However, and this is Jesus speaking, by the way, sorry. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said he will take of mine and declare it to you. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day. Father God, we thank you for the gift of Christ and the gift of your Spirit. We thank you for the willingness of Christ to go to the cross, to die for us, to rise again, the promise of life eternal when we truly put our faith in Christ. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit as we're going to talk today about helping us understand your Scripture, your words to us. You're walking with us. So as we say the phrase that we say each week, that we ask you to open our eyes and open our ears and especially open our hearts. We ask today that we would truly, that you would truly help us to really, truly mean that. Open our eyes, open our ears, and especially open our hearts to what the Spirit of God is going to reveal to us today. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And it's funny that the King James Bible was kind of brought up today in Sunday school. And one of the most popular things taking place today or within the church is the search for a version of the Bible that seems to be easier to understand. And you know what? I get it. I get it. You know, sometimes the King James, a lot of times, and I'm not downing the King James at all. I use it a lot. I use the New King James most times. Okay? I'm not downing it, but sometimes it can be a little tough. Okay? It can be a little tough. However, I will also say it's not impossible to understand. In trying to find a version that may be easier to read or understand, you have to know the difference between an actual version of the Bible, such as King James, New King James, NIV, ESV, and all the, you know, some of the other ones, NASB, and also the difference between them and a paraphrase, such as the Living Bible or the Passion Bible, which, my honest opinion, I definitely would stay away from the Passion Bible, and I question the Living Bible, to be honest with you. Two main reasons. All the other versions, King James, New King James, NIV, ESV, whatever, have all been judged, or however you want to put together, by committees who have truly looked at the original writings to form those versions. The paraphrase, one person. In the case of the Living Bible, it was one person who wrote it on his way each morning to work and his way home on a subway in Chicago and couldn't get it published by any of the other publishers of any Bible because it was his own ideas on what the Bible said. The Passion Bible, don't even get me going. The author of the Passion Bible, and this is one of the reasons why I say to stay away from it, is because he claims that Christ comes to him daily and reveals new scripture to him. It doesn't work like that. Not any longer. All these versions, as I said, like the NIV, the New King James Version, and those actual versions, and some I like better than the others, and that's fine. All these versions have had people putting them together, scholars who debated about what the translations were and things like that, and the original writings. But this is something we need to remember. No matter what version you use, NIV, NLT, which is New Living Translation, which is an actual translation, original King James, or original KJV, which is King James, you will never truly understand Scripture. I don't care if you use it, NIV, NLT, New King James, King James, whatever, ESV, you will never understand Scripture without H-O-L-Y-S-P-I-R-I-T. For those of you who can't get that very fast, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit illumines God's Word to us. Whatever version we're having, now I get it. There's some versions, you know, that help us understand. I get that. But that's also the reason why I said that even with the King James, when we let the Spirit talk and lead us, we can understand the King James. Now, I'm not here pushing to go all of a sudden all out King James on you. That's not what I'm saying. My point is simply this. Illumination is the work of the Holy Spirit to give a person insight into Holy Scripture. It could be the easiest version ever. And if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work, we're not going to understand it. We won't understand it. We'll be like so many who know the stories, but if we're not letting the Holy Spirit work in our life, that's all we're doing, is knowing the stories. Clarence Larkin, I doubt if many of you know him. He was a pastor in the late 20th century and the author of Dispensational Truth, wrote this. Spiritual illumination is different from either Bible inspiration or revelation. Remember the two words that we talked a little bit last week. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer by which he has his spiritual understanding open to understand the Scriptures. The work of the Holy Spirit in these days is not to impart some new revelation to men, mankind, or to inspire them to write or speak as the prophets and apostles of old, but to illumine men's minds and open up their understanding of the Scriptures, that their hearts will burn within them as they compare Scripture with Scripture and have revealed them God's plan and purpose in the ages as disclosed in His holy word. The Holy Spirit today to work within us is not to give us some new type of revelation or something like that. It's simply to help us to understand the prophecies that have been given, God's word that has been given to us. And we have to understand that. If we truly want to understand the Bible, two things we have to understand or realize. One, we can't do it on our own, no matter what the version is. Two, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without coming to Him and saying, that's why I truly believe this, that when you're reading the Bible, now I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands and say if you read the Bible daily. That's up to you. But if you're reading the Bible whenever, however often, or whatever, if you're not coming and asking the Holy Spirit to help you first, you're going to struggle. You are going to struggle. It could be a kindergarten translation. But if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through God's Word to guide us, we're not going to get it. It's going to be like what we read there in Corinthians. It's going to be foolishness. That's why a lot of people have read the Bible, could tell you Genesis to Revelation, almost any verse. And yet the fact of salvation through Christ and what He's done for us on the cross is foolishness, because they haven't opened up their hearts to Christ. Which then leads us to progressive revelation. Now, I know that word can be scary. Bear with me. Progressive revelations. To those who come to the Scriptures with an open mind and reliance upon the Holy Spirit for illumination, there comes the conviction that they present an unfolding of the plan and purpose of God, a progress of revelation and doctrine. Now, I know it's up there on the screen, but I'm going to read it for us again. To those who come to the Scriptures with an open mind and reliance upon the Holy Spirit. In other words, open to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us and direct us. For illumination, okay, reliance on the Holy Spirit to illumine the Word to us. There comes the conviction that they present an unfolding of the plan and purpose of God, a progress of revelation and doctrine. Because the Bible is a progressive revelation, we need to read it as a whole, not just take certain texts. That's why I have said many times, when you are doing Bible study, or you're looking at a certain verse, make sure you are reading the verses before it and the verses after it. And if you have one of those commentary Bibles that give you a scripture to compare it to, do that to truly understand what was being said there. Now, I understand that sometimes when we read certain things, it can strike us a little bit differently, especially depending on what we're going through at that moment. But that doesn't change the Word of God. That doesn't mean, well, okay, this verse changed in meaning. No, it doesn't mean that. But we can get new insights to it at different times if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us. But it is progressive. In other words, it continually shows whether you're reading in Genesis or whether you're reading a verse in James or whether you're reading, we have to understand it's progressive in the fact that it all points to God, His love. To Christ. For example, John 3:16. Everybody knows it, right? All right, let's say it together. For God so loved the world. You guys need to do the scripture reading from now on. So let's ask ourselves something about that verse. It says there that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Let's stop there, right? If we stop there, ask yourself this question. Why? What's the purpose that in God loving us so much that He had to give His Son? Where would you go to find the answer to that? Okay, you could go to John 3:17. We're not quite there, but I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm sorry. Remember one of my favorite sayings? Go back to Genesis. To an actual event that's going to give us the answer of what we want from John 3:16 and asking that question, why did God have to give Jesus? Matter of fact, and specifically, Genesis chapter 3. We have the case of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve sinned, right? They had the physical act of they did what? They ate that pear from the tree, right? Well, it could have been a pear. All we're told is it's fruit. I know we always say apple. That's why I just said it like that. Okay? They ate Eve ate it first. Guys, Adam was probably standing right there next to her. However it worked, they both ate eventually. All right? That was not the first sin. The first sin was actually not even Satan falling from heaven. The first sin that took place was spiritual. When Adam and Eve decided that in their hearts that they weren't going to obey God. They had to decide first, before they did the actual physical act, if they were going to follow God's word. The same is true for us. We can even say, well, I accidentally sinned. Trust me, I've used that excuse a lot of times. But when we sin, we choose first within our hearts to commit the sin. The fact of God giving His Son was not just to save us physically, but to save us spiritually, because that is the original sin for mankind when they decided in their hearts. And we're told that sin entered us or entered the world through what? One man named Adam. Forgiveness comes through one man named who? Jesus Christ. You see what I'm doing here? When you look at Scripture, when you just took that one verse and didn't really investigate it, we could walk away saying, oh, true, cool. God gave his son for us. And without truly understanding why it is that we need a Savior, we could miss out on a lot. It's even possible to truly miss out on salvation if we don't understand it. That's why it's progressive. It all comes back to the point of God loving us so much that he just doesn't all just want to save us. He wants to be in us and with us. Right here, right now. God wants to do so much more than just say, Scott, you get to go to heaven because you've accepted me as Savior. He wants to say to us, Bill, I want to live with you right here and now, not wait till you get to heaven. Progressive revelation is the unfolding of God's truth throughout all of Scripture. Throughout all of Scripture. Progressive revelation allows us to see Christ throughout the entire Word of God. Genesis to Revelation, to the Psalms, to Matthew. In Genesis, we have creation. In Revelation, we have the new creation. And in Scripture, we are told that we are what? New creations in Christ. That's what we have to remember. Scripture, every single word of it, only becomes real to us. Only becomes true revelation, and only truly inspires when we let the Holy Spirit work. If we're reading the Bible just to, because, well, it just seems like a good book, we're going to be like the example that I used last week, Thomas Jefferson, who refused to accept any of the miracles of the Bible. We're going to be like so many people who simply know the Bible but don't understand the truth of God's love and his forgiveness. You know, I love it when... I'm going to go off script here just a minute. You remember the show A-Team? Okay? Remember Hannibal? What he always said at the end of the show? I love it when a plan comes together. This week, I almost asked for the song that we're going to sing, a song called The Creed, right? Okay, The Creed, that we could do that today. I decided not to. Why? I don't know. Well, now I know. Because God had a plan. She had already picked it out. You know, that's how God works in Scripture. He's got a plan for us to let the Holy Spirit work, direct us, reveal things to us, inspire us, illumine Scripture to us, so we can come to him and truly understand and receive salvation. Before we sing that song, I'm just going to ask everybody just to bow their heads and close their eyes. And again, just ask yourself these words. Have I truly accepted Christ as Savior? Do I truly understand what it means? And if you're like, oh, I'm hoping that if you have said, yes, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, then just say these words to yourself. Lord, help me through your Holy Spirit to read the Bible more and to truly get into it. opened my eyes to what it truly says. But if you have, if you're saying, you know what, I don't know. I don't know if I've truly accepted Christ as my Savior, then I'm going to invite you through this next song to come down front. And then make that decision.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. You've heard our hearts this morning. You've heard our voices. We believe in you. We believe in every aspect that we've learned of you. Help us to learn more. Help us, Father. Illumine us, Holy Spirit, that we can learn more about you and walk closer with you daily. Open up our hearts and our heads and our minds, our spirits. Illumine us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.